Hello and welcome to another episode of Finally Following Yahweh's Torah, FFYT. Today is episode 15 already. A week flies by pretty fast. And so this week's episode is episode 15. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode as I'm beginning to share the Torah portion readings. Okay. And remember, it's from the Torah, the writings from the prophets, and also the Gospels. Okay. And so today we're going to zero in on the Gospels. Okay. We're going to be sharing with you Matthew chapter 4, okay, 1 through 17 from the Torah portion today. And so once again, I appreciate you if you're following along with these episodes. Okay. Finally Following God's Law, season number 2, Finally Following Yahweh's Torah. Okay. FFYT. There's been a little bit of change there, just to be specific. Our God has a name. His name is Yahweh Yeshua. So I just love to say his name, Ruach HaKodesh. He is King of the universe, creator of all things. So today's Torah portion is the 34th Torah portion reading. Okay. It's called Bamidbar. Okay. Bamidbar, it means in the wilderness. Okay. So we're going to be going ahead and I'm focusing once again on Matthew, the Gospels of this week's Torah portion reading. I'm getting used to doing this. Okay. So this is the second Torah portion reading that I'm going to be doing. Hopefully I'll be doing this every week. Okay. And so once again, usually these episodes air on Wednesdays. Okay. And so this episode is going to be actually when this airs, okay, which is going to be tomorrow. Okay. It will be Shabbat. Okay. It will be preparation day and Shabbat. So Shabbat Shalom in your home, okay? Shabbat Shalom in your home, or Shabbat Shalomi homie, okay? And so, I heard someone say that. I forget who said that, but it's very funny. So I thought I would use it. But Shabbat is a festive day. It is a day to every week that we meet him and we just gather together from all over the world. I mean, I feel like I'm the only one doing it, but there is many who celebrate the Shabbat, the Sabbath day, okay, the Lord's day of rest, okay? And so it means so much more. And if you didn't see that last week, I always say this, it means so much more than you would even imagine, the Sabbath day of rest, okay? It means so very much more. If you can, check out my last episode. It means everything. Everything that we have was created in 6 days, and then the Lord rested on the seventh day, and he marked that day. He sanctified it as holy. He set apart that day. So that's what it means. Everything that you're, from your food all the way to the places you visit, all creation, as you look around, it's just everything. Your families, the spirits, he created man in his image. Okay, so that's what I mean by the Sabbath is way more than you could even imagine. It's not only a day that you could take off to refresh yourself, okay? It means so very much more than that. I'm talking about a day off work. It's not just that, okay? It goes much deeper. And so this is why it's a divine, holy, separated day, okay? So Shabbat Shalom, okay? Happy Sabbath day, wherever you're at in this entire universe. In this entire world, I'm sorry. And so because the angels rejoice also on the Sabbath, okay? So we're not going to get into that right now. But since this is going to be airing on Sabbath, preparation day and Sabbath, come sunset tomorrow at sunset, it will begin the Sabbath. And so this episode will be airing tomorrow morning and also in the evening, okay? So happy preparation day, happy Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom from me to you, from my family right here, me and my little dog to you, my little dog, okay? So Shabbat Shalom, okay? Shabbat Shalom. All right, so let's go ahead and proceed with this Torah portion, okay? It's not going to be too lengthy. I know that's what I always say, and it ends up going over an hour. So let's just, if it does, it does. May the Spirit lead. Okay, so hopefully you are relaxing right now on your Sabbath. You know, if you're watching this in the evening tomorrow, and so you can kick back, relax, and watch it. But if it's in the daytime, in the morning, then hopefully Hopefully you're getting prepared for a Shabbat, a Sabbath. Remember, different time zone, different places, okay? Different time zones, okay? And so, anyhow, once again, Shabbat Shalom. And, well, we're going to talk about a new moon, okay? But that's not until Monday. As I show you the calendars, as we get to that screen right now, we're going to go ahead and proceed, okay? And so here we go. Let me get to that screen. All right, there it is there. And let me get to that screen. All right, so once again, finally following Yahweh's Torah, okay, F-F-Y-T, finally following Yahweh's Torah, which means instructions, which also the synonym can mean grace. And you're like, what, grace? Yeah, we're going to be learning a couple things today that I just learned today. Actually, just a few, not too long ago at all, okay? Just a few moments ago, I learned this when I put this together, okay? So, once again, finally following Yahweh's Torah instructions, okay? And I'll tell you about the grace right now, okay? Grace, okay? And so, Shabbat Shalom in your home, or Shabbat Shalomi homie, okay? Shabbat Shalom in your home. Today on God's calendar, I don't like saying the Hebrew calendar, because this is our Yahweh's calendar. He established it, okay? So it is Yahweh's calendar, okay? And so ER 28th today, okay? When you're watching this, it'll be the 28th, okay? The year 5783. We mentioned that in the last episode, that was never supposed to be broken up into BC and CE, okay? A monk from somewhere broke it into two. He separated the two. So that's the full count right there. 5783. That's in combination with the 2023, okay? And so, this is May 19th on your Gregorian calendar, okay? 2023, okay? And so, right here, okay, once again, we celebrate what? The Feast of Weeks. This is commanded by our Lord, okay? This is commanded by Yahweh, Yeshua. Even Yeshua himself celebrated all the feast days. You would think he was raised by Miriam and Joseph, who followed the commandments, okay, of Yahweh. They followed the scriptures. They followed the commandments. And so how do you think he was trained up? He was raised up, even though he followed all the feast days. Why? Because they were commanded to do so. And so we know since he was born, he did not break not one commandment. So you know his parents were taking him. They were celebrating the Feast of Weeks. They were celebrating all the feast days, okay? And lo and behold, he was the Passover lamb, okay? And so it's just amazing, amazing how he did not break not one commandment. So he was celebrating the Feast of Weeks to Shavuot, okay? The Lord is the Spirit, and he poured out his Spirit. That's what we're counting to Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And you can find that in Leviticus chapter 23. So today is day 41, okay? Day 41 today, okay? When this is airing, today is day 41, okay? And so, once again, it says here, this is the commandment. You shall count from the next day after the Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. That's the day of what? First fruits. That's when we began counting the Omer, or counting the Feast of Weeks, okay? The next day after the 7th Sabbath, you shall count 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to the Lord. That's in Leviticus chapter 23, 15 and 16. And it came to pass. Shavuot came to pass, just like he said it would, 49 days later, just like he said it would, on the day of resurrection till Shavuot, just like he said it would in Leviticus, 49 days. And on the 50th day, what happened? He poured out his Holy Spirit, Shavuot. That was in, you can find that in the book of Acts chapter 2. Okay, so happy day 41. We're almost there. Remember, 49 days and on the 50th day. So we're on 41. This time has been going by. I've been counting every day. And so this time and season, just a powerful season. It is amazing, okay? So much happens in these days. And we do this in memory of what really happened. the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, amen, which is the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord, amen. And so, happy Feast of Weeks, day 41. And so, here we go. New Moon, I was kind of hesitant to share this with you today because this is for another topic. Okay, this is not the topic that we're going to be going into today, but this is for another topic. Now, this is taken on a moon app. This is, you could download a moon app on your phone, and it's very awesome. Okay, it's very awesome. And so it tells you when the full moons are. So this is technology for you. Okay. And so this is what you can go by, but there's a teaching. Okay. That actually it's a lunar cycle you go by. And that is very tough to go by. Okay. Why do we say it? Because we have a specific day that we celebrate and it keeps everything in order. Okay, so the new moon, I'm going to be showing you that calendar right now. The new moon is actually on Monday. Okay, that's when Rosh Kodesh Sivan, okay, the month of Sivan will be coming in on Monday. Okay, and so you say, then why are you showing me this? Okay, because remember to keep the cycles in order. If not, you got to adjust it so much that it takes it out of sync. Yearly. Okay. Now, I'm not going to get into this teaching today, but there are those that go by the lunar cycle in the sky. Okay. And so it differs sometime. Okay. So once again, I'm not going to get into it in detail, but Monday is Rosh Kodesh. Okay. Is the new moon celebration. Okay. If you want to say Monday. Okay. So right there, you know it. That's today. That's when this is being recorded. And so it's May 18th right there. And we already have a new moon. Okay. So it's waning at 0%. So that's a full new moon right there. Okay. And so we're going to get into that teaching later. Okay. So you really can understand what I'm saying, what I'm talking about. So we are celebrating it on Monday. On the Hebrew calendar, on God's calendar, okay, we will celebrate it then because that's what's on the calendars, okay, just to keep it nice and neat, okay. So we will be getting into this in another time, but today we got the Torah portion reading, okay. It's going to be amazing. So once again, there it is, ER, Sivan, that's the new moon that I was talking about, the new month, that's what new moon means, okay. So today, right there, it's no longer X marks the spot, because if I would have put X marks the spot, then I would have X'd out everything in that little box right there. So square marks the box. So today, once again, when this airs, it's the 19th, it's Friday, it's Shabbat, okay? Shabbat Shalom. Once again, if you could read it right there in that tiny writing, it says Shabbat, Sabbath day begins at sundown, twilight. That's when it begins, okay? Once again, it's the Omer day 41, okay? And it is the 28th of ER. Once again, the square marks the spot, okay? And so when this airs, this will be Shabbat, okay? And so there you go. You have it down to the bottom left. You see what? You see the shofar being blasted. Rosh Kodesh Sivan. It starts the first of Sivan, which will be Monday, okay? The first of Sivan, a new month, okay? Months go by so fast, okay? So there it is, Rosh Kodesh Sivan blowing the shofar, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and dive in. But before we dive in, okay, to this week's Torah portion reading, once again, if this is your first time watching this, I always go through this. I'll go through it very quickly because if you want to start in episode number one, but you got to know that we've been grafted in, okay? Those of you that don't believe in any of this, the new moon celebrations, the Sabbath days, okay? Once again, go to my channel, okay? Soldiers, Set Apart Soldiers in Christ. You could go there and you could check out my previous videos. I go intensely into all the feast days and so many scriptures that tell you we've been grafted in, that we also celebrate all these wonderful things ever since Paul, okay? And all the disciples, they all did it. They all celebrated these wonderful feasts. Yeshua, once again, himself was raised and followed every commandment. And these are the feast days. These are the Sabbaths. These are the new moons, okay? These are commandments. And he did not break not one of them. So Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he followed every single one. And he told us to emulate him, to imitate him, to follow his ways. Just like Paul says. Paul says, I follow Yeshua's ways. So Paul said, follow my ways, okay? And so all these things were being done, okay? And so, so this is why I always bring this every episode, just so you'll see that we have been grafted in and we find this, that essential key to understanding all of this, okay? If you're not aware of it, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, in Yeshua HaMashiach, then you have been grafted into the commonwealth, to the promises, the covenant promises of Abraham, Isaac, all the covenant, the everlasting covenant, okay? So just so you understand this, so I put here, but before we dive in to this week's Torah portion reading, once again, the key to understanding the Torah of Yahweh, his prophets and writings, okay, the scriptures. All right, and so here's that key, and the key is to understand that we have been grafted in. There is the essential key. This is for believers out there, okay? Believers in Jesus, believers in Yeshua. That's his Hebrew name, his God-given Hebrew name, okay? Yahweh himself gave him that name, amen? So here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. 11 through 18 says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. The covenants of promise, okay? The Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, okay? All these wonderful covenants, which is the same covenant, okay? And the new covenant, they're all the same promise. They're everlasting, okay? Ever since Abraham. So those are the covenants of promise. Okay, so once again, having no hope, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world, but now in Yeshua Messiah, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He broke down that wall of man-made rules, man-made dogmas, man-made doctrines, okay, false doctrines, okay? He broke down those things which the Pharisees were adding so much. So that's what he came to break down. And unfortunately, there are some walls that have went back up, okay, between Jews and Gentiles, unfortunately, okay? And so as to create in himself one new man from the two, okay, from the two, Jews and Gentiles, one new man, thus making peace, okay, and that he might reconcile them both to Yahweh Elohim in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. The Ruach HaKodesh. And so Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 states, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are no longer Gentiles, but you are fellow citizens of the set apart ones and members of the household of Yahweh Elohim, being built on the foundation of the emissaries and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, being joined together, grows into a set-apart dwelling place in Yahweh, in whom you also are built together into a dwelling of Elohim in the Ruach, okay? And so in Numbers 15, 15 and 16, native-born Israelites and foreigners are equal before Yahweh and are subject to the same decrees. So once again, native-born Israelites and foreigners, Gentiles, are equal before Yahweh and are subject to the same decrees. This is a permanent law for you to be observed from generation to generation. The same instructions and regulations will apply both to you and to the foreigners living among you. Okay, so Exodus 12:49, the same law applies both to the native born and to the foreigner residing among you. Once again, Leviticus 24:22, you are to have the same law for the foreigner and the native born. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, okay? Straight from his mouth, okay? So amen and amen. Once again, you have to understand that you've been grafted in. And all this that we're going to be talking about applies to me and you. No matter what race you are, no matter what culture you're from, it all pertains to me and you. Because why? Because these are Yahweh's laws. These are his laws. We go back to Yeshua. The same laws that he lived by, the same laws that Paul lived by, the same laws that Timothy and all the disciples lived by were those laws, okay? And so here we go. So now we're going to go ahead and get to that Torah portion reading, okay? This week's Torah portion reading, once again, is called Bamidbar, okay? In the wilderness, that's what it's called. That's what Bamidbar means. In the wilderness, there you have it in the Hebrew. Okay, and so from the Torah, we got Numbers 1. Okay, this is the first chapter of Numbers, very powerful. Verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 20. And then from the prophets, we have Hosea chapter 2, 1 through 22. Some call it the Haftarah. The Haftarah is prophets, okay? And from the Gospels, we got Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 17. And that's what we're going to be focusing in on this week's Torah portion is Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 17. And once again, I highly recommend you go to HebrewGospels.com. And today we're going to be sharing some scripture from the original manuscript from Hebrew directly into English, okay? They translated on this, his name is Justin, okay? And him and his father, they translated him, his family, very humble, okay? And he gives you proof that it hasn't been copied from Greek back into the Hebrew, okay? That's what he means by directly from Hebrew into the English. It hasn't been transliterated into Greek and then back into Hebrew. No, because it loses its meaning, okay? And so I highly recommend that you go there. Today we're going to be reading, and that's what I mean about the word grace. I found out something that it just blew my mind, okay? And so we're going to be going over this Matthew 4, 1 through 17 from that manuscript, okay? That translation, okay? From HebrewGospels.com, okay? And we're also going to be using a little bit of other translations also, but we're going to read it straight through, okay? And that's what I got for you today. So, portion summary. The Hebrew name of the fourth book of the Torah, also the name of the first reading, is Bamidbar, which means in the wilderness. It comes from the first words of the first verse, which say, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai," Numbers 1:1. The English title of the book is Numbers, okay? The English title of the book is Numbers, which is derived from the Greek Septuagint version of the Torah. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's trek through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, their failure at the edge of the land, and the subsequent 40 years of wandering. It concludes with the story of the second generation's triumphs over the first Canaanite resistance. The book ends with the Israelites poised on the edge of Canaan, ready to take their inheritance. Woven in the midst of these narratives is a significant amount of legal material. The first reading from Bamidbar And the 34th reading from the Torah begin with a census of the tribes of Israel and the Levitical families just prior to the departure from Sinai. Once again, very powerful book. I mean, just go ahead and begin, because when I read it, oh my goodness, it was very powerful, okay? Just to know how they set up and they defended the sanctuary. They defended the sanctuary there. Amen. So I don't want to get off on that, because then I'll get off on a rabbit trail here, and I don't want to do that. We're focusing in on the Matthew 4, 1 through 17 today. Okay. And so just once again, highly recommend that you read these Torah portion readings. It's just very powerful. Okay. And so here we go. This is what I'm talking to you about. This is Matanyahu, okay? That's in the Hebrew, Matanyahu. I'm learning a little bit here, and hopefully you can bear with me, because I'm just learning. And so it's just amazing. So Matanyahu is Matthew, okay, in the Hebrew, chapter 4, 1 through 17, okay? Matanyahu, okay? So this is from the HebrewGospels.com. Once again, I gave you that rundown. This is from directly from the manuscripts in Hebrew to directly from to English, okay, translated. If you want to, if you're interested, I really, once again, highly recommend that you go to this website, and you understand when once he runs it down to you how he came to know that these he proves it, okay, that these were authentic originally in Hebrew, okay? So there's a little bit of differences, okay? Because remember, when it goes to the Greek, it loses some meaning. We got great Greek texts, okay? Don't get me wrong, but in some instances it actually loses. And sometimes they will even add some things to make it fuller, okay? And so it loses its pure meaning, okay? And so this doesn't lose any meaning. Once again, it wasn't transliterated into Greek back into Hebrew, which a lot of manuscripts done, okay? This is directly from the original Hebrew, okay? And so, yes, these manuscripts were actually written in original Hebrew, okay? It didn't have to go from the Greek or Aramaic into the Hebrew, okay? Just check out that website. You'll know what I'm talking about, okay? And so, once again, so let's go ahead and read through, okay? We'll come back to this. We're going to go ahead and read through these scriptures, okay? This week's Torah portion, Matthew 4, 1 through 17. Then Yeshua Mashiach was brought into the wilderness by Ruach HaKodesh in order to be tempted by HaSatan. And when he had afflicted himself 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. HaSatan came unto him and said to him, "If you are the son of Eloah, say to these stones that they must turn into bread." Then he answered and said to him, "It is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by the grace of Yahweh." Then HaSatan brought him up to the holy city and set him on the height of the house of the sanctuary. Verse 6, and said to him, "If you are the son of Eloah, cast yourself downwards, for it is written, El commands his messengers that they take you in their hands, so that you will not receive evil against yourself." Again, he answered him, "It is written, you must not tempt your Elohim." Then HaSatan brought him unto an exceeding high mountain, and HaSatan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all of this if you bow down to the earth and worship me." Then Yeshua said to him, "Go away, HaSatan, for it is written, you must worship your Elohim, and him alone you must serve." Then HaSatan left him, and the messengers came and served him. When Yeshua heard that Yohanan had been seized, he turned his face to Galilee. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. and left Netzaret, his city, and he sojourned in the city Kephar, Nahum, by the seashore of the districts of Zebulun and Naphtali, in order that the prophecy of Yeshaya the prophet should be fulfilled, saying, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali is again restored. The way of the sea of the Yardin Valley of Galilah, the people who abide in the way of thick darkness saw a light, and a shining lamp appeared unto those who abide into the shadow of death. And from then and onwards, Yeshua began to preach and say, perform repentance, for the kingdom of heavens is drawing near. Okay, so very powerful. Today's Torah portion reading from the Gospels, chapter 4, 1 through 17. Okay, and so I'm going to go back, and then you're saying, wait a minute. And this is where I learned this right here, which is just amazing. Okay, this is the footnote at the bottom. Okay, there's footnotes in this original translation. Okay, you won't know really what I'm talking about until you go to this website. Okay, and it's, I'm not pushing anything because they don't charge anything for anything. Okay, it's all free. It's all there, and excellent in-depth study. Okay, just excellent. Okay, so if you're hungry for the word to understand, I really highly recommend you go to this website and check it out for yourself. Okay, so when I was reading this, because I've read this passage many times, and I'm sure you have also, okay, many times, okay, and so when I read verse 4, and it says, then he answered and said to him, right here, and he answered and said to him, it is written, man will not live by bread alone, but by the grace of Yahweh. I was like, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. That's what I said to myself, because I've read this so many times. When I eat dinner, I pray this little scripture, because I know that we don't live by bread alone that feeds our stomachs. We live by his word, okay? And so I know it says bread. Okay, but I know it says word. We live by the word, not only the bread that feeds our stomach, but by the word that feeds our spirit. Okay, for he is the word. He's the bread of life. Okay, and so when I read this, I was like, what? Why is that there? And I know I've been studying these manuscripts at this website, and I'm like, wait a minute, it can't be. Because I know, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here, right? So I looked at the footnotes, okay, and I was just going to leave it like this, okay? But then I was like, why does it say grace? And so I went there, and this is what I learned, okay? I'm like, wow, wait a minute. So I looked at the footnote, okay? And this is that footnote that I put here. I clipped it out, and I put it right at the bottom. Hopefully you can see it from there, okay? You got to be on a big screen TV. Hopefully you're on a big screen TV. If not, you're going to have to get to one, okay? So it says here, grace is a synonym for Torah, which is, of course, also a synonym for word, okay? Once again, grace is a synonym for Torah, which is, of course, also a synonym of word, okay? So the word grace is a synonym for Torah. I got to say it three times, because Torah, which is, of course, also a synonym of word. So that's where they get it from. You see what I mean? In the original Hebrew manuscripts, it says grace, okay? But it's a synonym for Torah, because we know the word is the Torah, okay, that became flesh. The Torah that became flesh. But right here in the original, okay, it says grace. But this is how they broke it down to where it says word, okay? And so it's just amazing. So check that out for yourself. Also, see Psalm 119:29, Exodus 33:13, for the equivalence of way, W-A-Y, way, the way, and Torah, okay? Check it out, okay? I'm not going to go into that right now, but there's an equivalence of the way, the truth, the life, the way, okay? There's an equivalence of the way and Torah, Okay. And maybe I'll check that out, and I will maybe share that with you next week. Okay. And so I just found that amazing. Also see Isaiah 2, chapter 3, and Micah, chapter 4, too. So if you want to learn these things from the original Hebrew, the original language of Yahweh, okay, which is the Hebrew, it is very interesting. Okay, so there you have it. I read the whole script for you, but we have more than that for you, okay? So that's not all that I wanted to convey to you, okay? But I wanted to allow you to realize, if you don't realize this by now, if you don't know this, okay, maybe you're barely learning, maybe you're barely reading the New Testament, maybe you're barely coming to faith, okay? And so so many understand it as the commandments and the laws are all done away with, okay? But if you're in that mindset and you just don't know yet, then I'm gonna go ahead, this scripture right here, and when I read it, it was like, I started looking into it, not just recently, because I know he's quoting scripture. And so many of you probably say, yes, he is quoting scripture. And so, okay, so at this moment in time when Yeshua was quoting scripture to Hasatan, and Hasatan was quoting scripture back at him, okay? He was quoting scripture at him, and he was quoting scripture back at him, okay? But what scripture are we talking about? We're talking about what? The Torah. Okay, remember, Yeshua always lived his commandments. He always lived by the Torah. He taught nothing else. The prophets and Torah, the Tanakh, the writings. He always used to point back to the prophets, the writings, okay? The truth, okay? And so this is what was going on here. But there's a bigger picture to this. Because as I was cross-referencing, it is written, okay? Whenever he says it is written, he's pointing back to Torah. He's pointing back to the instructions. He's pointing back to the prophets. He's pointing back to the writings of the Psalms, okay? And so I have those cross-references for you, okay? But in fullness, which we're going to be reading in full, what he was telling him. And it's just amazing. Because he was quoting everything from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so when you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're going to see everything there. And guess who was around Deuteronomy chapter 6? Of course, Hasatan was there. He was there in the wilderness. He was there testing. He was tempting, right? Remember, Hasatan was always around, okay? So it's just amazing the tie-ins, because as Yeshua was being tempted, remember, 40 days. Remember, how many years did in the wilderness were the Israelites? 40 years, okay? And they were being tested and tried. And I got that scripture for you. They were being tested and tried. Okay, so Yeshua, 40 days in the wilderness, Yeshua didn't eat. Remember, he hadn't ate nothing. And there it is. There's Hasatan. There it was. He was tempting. He was calling him on the word, on the Torah, and Yeshua was answering him back. So this whole story right here, this section in this Torah portion reading has to do with what? Has to do with Deuteronomy 6 on what the Israelites went through. Yeshua went through it himself, who was a Jew, okay? You know this, he was a Jew from the tribe of Judah, okay? And so he went through the same trial, okay? And he passed the test. He passed the test. We know the Israelites failed, most of them, almost all of them. Failed. We all failed, okay? In other words, we all fall short. But Yeshua, tempted 40 days, remember, he hadn't ate nothing, and Hasatan came up to him. He passed the test with flying colors, okay? We know this, unblemished, without sin, okay? And so they were quoting Deuteronomy 6, okay? In other words, so was Hasatan. Okay, guess who was there in the wilderness those 40 years? Hasatan, okay? And by the what? Permission of Yahweh, okay? And so this is where I wanted to convey to you today. And so we're, let's go ahead and get to that. So go ahead and read this again. And I'll go ahead and go through that right there. And then we're going to get to the cross references here, okay? Matthew 4:4, okay? Matthew 4:4. It says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, which means Torah, that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Okay, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is what Yeshua said, but by every word, Torah, every instruction. Remember what Torah means. It means instructions. It means commandments. Okay, it means commandments. And we have been going through the commandments. The feast days are commandments. The Sabbath is a commandment. All these wonderful feast days are commandments. Okay, and so many other instructions and commandments. So this is straight from Yeshua's mouth. What is he saying? Look at it. For all you who think, okay, I'm just saying in a loving way that we don't abide by the commandments no more. That is before. No, what does he say right here? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone that you eat, okay, but by every instruction, every word, that's what Torah means, instruction, that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, okay? Him and the Father are one, and this is what he was telling him, okay? Because he was tempting him, okay? And so, once again, where do we find that reference? You can check this all you want. I want you to cross-reference this. It's wonderful. Deuteronomy 8:3, that's where he got it from. It says, he humbled you, allowed you to be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you didn't know, neither did your fathers know, that he might teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word, Torah, that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Okay, and so just amazing. So he references that from Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay, and we're going to be reading through, I believe it's chapter 6, and hopefully I didn't make an error here, okay, but I don't think so. But anyhow, Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled you, allowed you to be hungry, and fed you with manna, okay? He humbled you, allowed you to be hungry. You get it? Yeshua was hungry, 40 days, 40 nights without food. He allowed you to be hungry and fed you with manna, okay, which you didn't know. Neither did your fathers. Remember, that was heavenly food. Torah, that was heavenly food, also could refer back to Torah, okay? Neither did your fathers know that he might teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word, okay? So now you get the connection. Yeshua hadn't eaten. He was hungry, but he knew the word. And this is what he answered him back with, the Torah, the instructions. Okay, I hope you get the tie-in here. That's what was going on. Okay, he was humbled, but he was tempted by the devil, and he passed the test. He passed the test. Praise the Lord. Praise Yeshua. Amen. But man lives by every word, every instruction. Look it up. Torah means instructions, okay? But man lives by every word, Torah, that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And this is today. That was in Matthew. He reiterates it, okay? And so we go to the next one. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, he says, and said to him, we'll start off at verse 6, and said to him, this is Hasatan, right? He says to Yeshua, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of Yahweh, okay, that's who God is, Yahweh Elohim. If you are the Son of Yahweh, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. And so when we read the ending of that the angels did come to him, right? Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? So he says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. And so where was he? Where did he pull that scripture out? Hasatan, right? Where did he pull that scripture out? And he twisted it up a little bit, right? He says, on their hands they will bear you up. Anyhow, so he pulled that from Psalm 91, verse 11 through 12. Psalm 91, 11 through 12. That's is where he pulled it from. Remember, he knew scripture too, right? That's why it's so important to know your Torah. So very important to know the instructions, okay? Psalm 91, 11 through 12. Because why? They were going back to the Torah, the Psalms, the instructions, the commandments, okay? This is what we got to learn, okay? So Psalm 91, 11, 12 says, for he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. And so that's directly, he nabbed it, he grabbed it, not verbatim. Look at that. On their hands, they will bear you up. It doesn't say that. It says, for he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands. So similar, it says on their hands, they will bear you up in their hands. Okay. So that you won't dash your foot against a stone. Okay. So, and then we have in Matthew 4:7, the next verse. Okay. It says, Yeshua said to him, again, it is written, you shall not test your Elohim Yahweh. And so this now Yeshua goes back at him, says, Yeshua said to him, again, it is written. Remember, it is written. Whenever you see it is written, they're going back to the Torah, the instructions, the writings, okay? You shall not test Elohim Yahweh. Right there, such a powerful statement. When I say him and the Father are one, this is one of the verses that you can go to if you do not believe this, that him and the Father are one. There's only one king of the universe. There always has been a king of the universe. This is him, okay, creator of all things. What is he stating right here? He goes back at Hasatan and tells him, Yeshua said to him, again, it is written, you shall not test your Elohim Yahweh. Okay, your Elohim, you shall not test Yahweh. So who was Satan, Hasatan, talking to? Who is he testing at that very moment? Yeshua? Yes. And Yeshua says, you shall not test Yahweh. Whoa, powerful statement. Him right there, him and the Father are one. And so where does he pull that out from? Yeshua. Where does he get that from? Deuteronomy chapter 6. There it is, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt your Elohim Yahweh. You shall not tempt Yahweh as you tempted him in Massah. Okay, once again, in the wilderness, okay, Meribah, I think other renderings say Meribah, okay? You shall not tempt your Elohim Yahweh as you tempted him in Massah. And so once again, he's pulling scripture out of Deuteronomy, okay? And so out of the Psalms, okay? So they're going back and forth with this, but they're all talking about commandments here, okay? They're all talking about what happened in the wilderness, okay? And so we're going to go ahead and go to the next one. The next cross-reference is Matthew chapter 4. Once again, we're going through Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 17, this conversation between Hasatan and Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, Matthew 4:10 says, then Yeshua said to him, get behind me, Hasatan, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall serve him only. Okay. He says, once again, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall serve him only. And in Deuteronomy, where does he get that? Cross-reference, Deuteronomy 6, chapter 13. You shall fear Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall serve him and shall swear by his name. So once again, quoting Deuteronomy, okay? Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay? And so once again, the cross references here. Once again, going back to the scriptures, the only scriptures they had, that was the Tanakh. That was the Torah, amen? And so once again, for it is written, and excuse me, there's a typo there, okay? Because I like putting Yahweh's name, okay? So that typo is right after the worship, okay? And it just came out at my ear right here. I forgot to remove the, okay? You shall worship Yahweh, your Elohim, okay? So please forgive me for that typo of the in there, okay? You shall worship Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall serve him only, okay? So he's telling him, he's telling HaSatan, okay? And it's just powerful because once again, he was very weak, okay? He had an eight. Imagine, try not eating for 40 days, okay? If you can go a week, I've went a couple weeks, and right now there's a fast going on. I think it's 21 days. But remember, 40 days with no food at all? You know, he was very weak. And this is when HaSatan attacks, okay? And so he passed the test, okay? Praise him. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach, okay? And so Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear Yahweh your Elohim. Once again, this is where he drew it from, okay? And you shall serve him and shall swear by his name, okay? And so here we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and let me take a drink of water. We're going to go ahead and quote this chapter 6, okay? We're going to go ahead and read through this, okay? Why am I going to read through this? Is because he was drawing mainly all from Deuteronomy. He was drawing them from the wilderness, okay? This is where he was drawing those scriptures from. And once again, we tie it in because who was there? HaSatan was in the wilderness and he was trying them. He was tempting them, okay? And many of them failed. We know the story there, okay? But he was there. And so once again, he ties it into this. Once again, the 40 days, there's a tie-in here. 40 days and the 40 years that they spend in the wilderness, okay? And the Torah portion reading today is what? Bamidbar in the wilderness, okay? Bamidbar in the wilderness, okay? And so this is what was going on here. And you know that HaSatan knew what he was talking about because who was present with them in the wilderness? Yahweh, him and the Father are one. So you could say Yeshua, before he got the name Yeshua, was Yahweh, and he was in the wilderness there. He was allowing them, and then you're saying, what? Yes, he was allowing them to be tempted, to be tried and tested in the wilderness. And this is scripture. How do you think he tested them? How do you think he tempted them? Through HaSatan. Okay, so HaSatan was in the wilderness, okay? And so this is one of the reasons he allowed them to go be tested and tried. This is why Yeshua had to go through the same thing, okay? But he passed with flying colors, okay? Him and the Father are one. Remember, he was 100% human and 100% deity. So his human side was what? Very weak, okay? He experienced everything me and you go through. Everything that we go through, that we suffer as human beings, he went through the same thing. It was 100% human being, but he didn't give in. He knew the commandments and he kept them. And so we have to give all praise and glory to Yeshua HaMashiach, so much that he endured throughout all his life, from childhood until he was crucified. He passed the test sinless. And that's how me and you, we fall way short. This is how me and you have life eternal, placing our faith through his grace and mercy, through Yeshua's blood, okay? And so just amen and amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. I put here Torah, Yeshua quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 from the Torah scriptures, okay? Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded you to teach you. Which Yahweh, your Elohim, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land that you go over to possess, that you might fear Yahweh, your Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you, your son, and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised to you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. And so he tells them there's great rewards in keeping these commandments, in keeping these instructions. There's great reward. That's what he's telling them here. He didn't set them up for failure. He did it to take care of them. And this is how they would reach the land of milk and honey, by following the commandments, by being obedient. They believed in him already. They knew he was powerful. They knew he was real. Their faith, they believed in him. And then they said, now obey these things and you will be well. Okay, so we know they fell short, just like all of us have. So we pick it up once again at verse 3. Hear, therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised to you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words, which I command you today, instructions, right, shall be on your heart, all the way back then, on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. This is the command today, right? It says, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It shall be when Yahweh, your Elohim, brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you, great and goodly cities which you didn't build, and houses full of all good things which you didn't fill, and cisterns dug out which you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant, and you shall eat and be full. Then beware lest you forget Yahweh. Then beware lest you forget Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the peoples who are around you. It says, for Yahweh your Elohim amongst you is a jealous El, is a jealous God, lest the anger of Yahweh your Elohim be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt, here we go, you shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim, or test him, or tempt Yahweh your Elohim, as you tempted him in Massa. Remember the discussion going on between Hasatan and Yeshua. It says, once again, you shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim as you tempted him in Massa. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to your fathers. Remember, there's always a blessing when you're following his commandments, because they are so good for us. When you follow his ways, he tells them right here, you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to thrust out all of your enemies from before you. What a blessing, to thrust out all of your enemies from before you, as Yahweh has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, when your children ask you, when your sons ask you, when your family members ask you, okay, why? Why the testimonies? Why the ordinances? I'm paraphrasing right now, but I'm going to read it right now. You're going to tell them. You're going to tell your grandkids or your great-grandkids or your children, whatever age you are. You're going to tell them, okay, because why? We've been grafted in. And why the laws? Why the commandments? So verse 20, we pick it up. When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what do the testimonies, the statutes, and the ordinances, which Yahweh our Elohim has commanded you, mean? What do they mean? Why are you doing these things? Why do we celebrate the Sabbath? Maybe when your children look at you and they see you doing these things, they're going to ask you, why? Why are you doing these things? Why you celebrate the new moons? Why you celebrate the Sabbath? Why are we doing this? As parents, they're going to ask you, okay, your children. So what do you ask them? What do you answer them? Your family might ask you, why you do these things? Why? We don't live by laws anymore. That's done. No, they may ask you this. So what do you tell them? Verse 21 says, then you shall tell your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. And then they're going to say, we weren't slaves in Egypt. Remember, we've been grafted in. Okay, this is the family line that from the Abraham seed all the way until now. Remember, Messiah was born in the tribe of Judah. And so once you place your faith in him, then you become what? Heirs to the promise, the Abrahamic covenant. So you can say this. You can say this because we've been grafted in to the vine. And that's if you're a Gentile. That's if you're not a native-born Israelite. We've been grafted in. We went through that already. That's why it's so very important to understand you've been grafted in. So this is what you tell them. Then you shall tell your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves, our ancestors, okay? The patriarchs, where we came from, where we've been grafted in because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in Yeshua. This is why we do these things. And so it says, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Yahweh showed great and awesome signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh and on all his house before our very eyes. Okay? Testimony, testified. This is what you're going to say. Before our very eyes, the creator of the universe did all those things so that we can retell it and say, you know what? Yahweh is real. Yeshua, him and the Father are real. This is what happened. Testimony. Verse 23, and this is why we are obedient in honor of what he has done for us. Verse 23, and he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. Yahweh commanded us to do all these things, all these statutes for fear of Yahweh our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are today. It shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded us. This is what you answer them. This is what you answer them when they say, why? Why do we do these things? Why do we do preparation day? Why do we gather on the Sabbath? Why do we follow the Feast of Weeks? Why do we count the Omer? Why do we do these things? And this is what you answer them. It's for the good. It's for the good. Once again, I'm going to go over that last little part once again. It says, then you shall tell your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, bondage. Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Yahweh showed great and awesome signs and wonders on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and on all his house before our very eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes for fear, Yahweh our Elohim, for our good. Right there, for our good, because he loves us. He's our father. For our good, he's given us these commandments, always for our good, that he might preserve us alive as we are today, because there's always been a remnant. Look at what you see. His promises are true. Israel has went up against, oh my goodness, you know, the Six-Day War. It's just a miracle how these prophecies came to pass. And ultimately, what is he talking about? The millennial kingdom, the Abrahamic covenant. These are covenant promises we've been grafted into. When he returns, the land will be ours. We will inherit it. And it's just going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. The Garden of Eden restored. This is what this all means here. And so this is how very good the commandments are. His Moedim, his divinely appointed feast days. This is what it's all about. To observe them. To observe, to do all the commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded us. Amen and amen. Okay. And so I hope that this touched your heart. And we'll go ahead and read some more here. And then we're going to be drawing this to a close, because that whole scripture, okay, was what they were going back and forth, okay? That whole scripture right there. So there's so much in this. And so you may have read Matthew 4 so many times, but maybe you didn't know what was really going on here. It's just amazing. So Matthew 4:8 says, again, okay, now this is the last slide here. And I will leave you with a decision. If you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ and Yeshua HaMashiach, if you are not saved, okay, if you don't know what it is to be saved, and maybe you're caught in bondage, maybe something's been tugging at your heart, maybe he's been knocking at your heart, I would suggest that you open up the door. You know, I suggest you read Romans chapter 10. I don't have that scripture here. Please forgive me. But all you have to do is bow before him in prayer. Just ask him to come into your heart and you will be saved. Place your faith sincerely from your heart between you and him. Okay, if you don't know him, okay, if you're watching this somewhere, somehow, sometime, and you're wondering, what is David always talking about? And you don't know, and maybe you're skeptic about it. Then talk to him. Talk to him. If he's tugging at your heart, if this is you out there, nothing is worth it. Nothing is worth your soul. Nothing is worth your spirit going to that bad place. Okay, nothing in this world can surmount to that. And so I ask you, if you're not a believer, that you would open up your heart to him. Ask him to come into your heart. Yeshua HaMashiach, just talk to him. Jesus, say, come into my heart. I want to know you. I want to intimately know you. I want to go to heaven. I want to be in the millennial kingdom. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go in a bad place. I want to change my life if you're going through things. He'll come in if you sincerely ask him into your heart. He'll come in and he'll start doing something inside of you, amazing things in you. And you can be rest assured. You know, and then the beautiful commandments to follow his ways. Okay, sanctification and obeying him. There's so much good. We just read it. For our own good, the commandments. You'll learn little by little all these wonderful truths. And then ultimately, if you should die before that day comes back, before he comes back, if you should lose your life before that day, then guess what? You'll go to that good place when you die. And your soul will not go to that bad place. And so I'm going to leave you with this scripture here. Excuse me. I'm going to leave you with this scripture here, okay? And meditate on it. And even if you're a believer, and maybe you're cold, maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you don't know all these things, maybe you placed your faith in him, but you've been slacking off, maybe you backslid, maybe you're in a state of being backslidden, okay? He wants you back. He's calling you back. If you've given your life to him and you walked away from the faith, come back. Come back because you no longer belong to you. Come back and repent, okay? And so, because I'm gonna show you that last, one of the last temptations, okay? The last offer that HaSatan made to Yeshua, okay? He made an offer because we live in a world, okay, of lust. Lust of our eyes, material things, okay? This is the type of world we live in. This looks so good. I'll give you this. You could have all the money. Money, money, power, power. This is what man strives for. Success, money. This is what the world is offering you. Okay? And nothing wrong about being successful. But never put it priority over him. There's a decision to be made here. And so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, again the devil, HaSatan, took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, I will give you all of these things if you will fall down and worship me. All of those things. He's talking about all the kingdoms, the world, the glory, all everything, the riches and everything. I'll give you all of this, he says, if you will fall down, bow down, and worship me. Okay? So it's a choice. It's a choice. And maybe you're tempted to take all these things, right? It's a choice, though. It's your free will. You can choose it. You can choose it. Okay? You can deny Yeshua. You can deny Jesus. And you can choose to have everything. But guess what? It's not worth your soul. Because that's what you're selling. You're selling your soul. And that's eternal. That's forever. Mark chapter 8. 34 through 38. He called the multitude to himself with his disciples and said to them, whoever wants to come after me, Yeshua says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he says, and for the sake of the good news, we'll save it. Here we go. Verse 36, Yeshua says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? Remember what HaSatan said. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, right? This is one of the things he came at Yeshua with. In verse 36, once again, it says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? In other words, you can strive to have all those things and reject Jesus Christ, and you reject the offer of salvation. You can do that. But then comes what? Everybody has that day that he dies. This physical body will go down back to the earth. And then what are you going to do? What is all that you have acquired? Everything, all the success you have acquired, because that's what you chose. He offered everything, right? All the kingdoms, he offered Yeshua. And he offers it to you too. And just say that you chose all of that. Then the day comes when your appointed day, everybody has that appointed day when you will lose your life, you will die. And your soul lives forever. Then what does it gain? You can't take it with you. You cannot take it with you. So it's a sobering thought that I was going to wrap this up with. I wish and prayed it was a cheerful thought, but it is a cheerful thought. Because if you choose life, guess what? You inherit the kingdom. This world is temporary. It's coming to an end. And you will inherit eternal life in the kingdom on earth. Resurrected bodies, the new heavens and new earth. It is going to be indescribably amazing. That's all I can say. Indescribably amazing. For your soul lives forever, and it will receive a resurrected body, and you will live forever. But if you choose death, if you choose to reject, well, guess what? Your soul still lives forever, but in suffering, in suffering. So I would choose life if I was you. I really would. Okay, I did. It's wonderful. And so there's the invitation here. I'll go ahead and finish off this verse here, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? For whoever will be ashamed of me, Yeshua says, don't be ashamed of him. It's nothing to be shameful of. For whoever will be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Okay? Directly from Yeshua's mouth. There's nothing to be ashamed of. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done in your life, this is an opportunity to have your sins removed, blotted out. Okay? This is an opportunity. All those things that you have done in your life, whatever state of, he'll forgive you. He will forgive you. And you can enter into that rest with him. Amen. Amen and amen. So go ahead and read that scripture again. And once again, just read Romans chapter 10. I don't have it with me right here. Maybe next time I will have it ready. Okay. Romans chapter 10. I believe it's in the first verses where it talks about if, you know, you just call upon the name of Yeshua and you will be saved. I'm paraphrasing, but go ahead and read that if you haven't so already, if you haven't placed your faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. And these wonderful commandments aren't hard to keep. They are wonderful, okay? And so remember, I love you and I thank you if you've been following along with these Torah portion readings. And so thank you for if you've been watching these videos. Stay tuned for next week's Torah portion reading. We'll see what we do, but we're going to be doing the Torah portion reading every week. So if you understand Shabbat, well then, Shabbat Shalom, okay? Shabbat Shalom in your home, okay? So all glory to Yahweh Elohim, Yeshua, our Lord, our Savior. I'll go to the next slide. You're like, wait a minute. It's not there. It's not there. Well, I did this for a reason. It lets me know to get prepared, to get ready for what we do in every episode. Okay. What do we say? What do we say? What do we say? Stay tuned for next week's episode of FFYT, finally following Yahweh's Torah, episode 16 coming up next week, the next Torah portion reading, okay? So may you be blessed on this Shabbat day, and may you have a wonderful weekend, you and your family, okay? Goodbye for now. but never forever. And once again, what do we say? We say amen and amen and Maranatha. Bo Yeshua Bo. That means come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Yeshua, come. Amen and amen. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye for now, but never forever.